Welcome to the Microsoft Industry Experiences Team Podcast. I'm your host, David Starr, and in this series, you will hear from leaders across various industries discussing the impact of digital disruption and innovation, sharing how they've used Azure to transform their business. You can find our team online at aka.ms/INDXP or on Twitter at IndustryXP. Ryan Rugg is the global head of insurance for R3 and leads the company's insurance strategy to drive business growth. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're also responsible for strategic design, development, and commercialization across the ecosystem of blockchain innovation within the insurance industry. So you really are tied right up to blockchain in insurance. This is where you spend your time.
Yes, we opened the Center of Excellence for Insurers and Reinsurers at R3 in 2017 with Accord, and since then have seen a large amount of reinsurers kind of grow on our platform, and it's been wonderful to kind of spearhead that initiative.
That's great. And Nick Lemer is the Principal Industry Lead for Insurance at Microsoft in the Industry Experiences team. He advocates for Microsoft Azure within the insurance industry and is a recognized thought leader in the insurance IT space. Nick, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. I'm really excited to hear what Ryan has to say. We've talked a couple of times at different conferences, and Microsoft's been happy to support Corda in our workbench and across multiple different parts of our platform.
So you guys met at a conference recently, and there was a conversation that you felt Nick was strong enough to have a conversation on the podcast. What was it that was so compelling about the solution?
I was actually at a blockchain event, and every single insurance company that I was talking to, the only solution they were really interested in was Corda. They had started someplace else. Oh, and then we moved to Corda, and then we moved to Corda. So even if they had started in someplace else, everyone was ending up that way. So it was clear, you know, even as much as a year ago, that was the direction that all the major insurers are going to. If they started off on another platform, they just the distributed ledger technology within Corda was fit most closely with what they were comfortable with.
So is that what you have found, Ryan, is that it's just the ledger model of Corda that feels comfortable for insurance companies?
Thank you, Nick, for the kind words. I think it really goes back to the beginning. So when, you know, R3 first started out as a consortium sandbox back in September 2015, you know, doing several different proof of concepts on Ethereum, Eris, Corn, Chain, so forth, it was never our intention to build our own platform. But, you know, finding that none of the other ledgers out there were, you know, from a privacy scalability standpoint up to the standards of our consortium, we were basically forced to build our own platform from the ground up with our members for the members. And I think that really is unique. You know, we hosted monthly architect working group calls to kind of figure out what were the characteristics of a traditional blockchain that needed to be in, you know, distributed ledger such as Corda. And on a, you know, we still take lines of code from the community and really building a community around it. And I think that's why we've seen such a large reception in all industries, but especially insurance. You know, insurance is going through a digital transformation. Blockchain is just kind of one of the components of it. But from a security standpoint, where information on Corda is only shared on a bilateral and multilateral basis, so only parties that need to see the information I think is extremely important characteristic. So I think that's why we've seen a lot of insurers kind of gravitate towards our platform. But, you know, we are a startup of, you know, 200 plus people. People don't typically start on Corda. You know, we don't have kind of the large community, I should say as large as community as other ledgers out there, but it is growing, which is really exciting. So it's exciting to see more and more people kind of moving over.
What blockchain consortium models are you working with? What do you see people wanting?
So we work with several different consortiums in insurance right now. We have InsureWave, which is live, which is on Azure. You guys have worked very closely with the EY GuardTime team that brought the project with Maersk live last April, which is really exciting. We also work with B3I, which is a consortium out of Europe. It started off primarily reinsurance, but they've really scaled that and working on a project called CodeIX. And we also here in the U.S. work with a non-for-profit consortium called Risk Block Alliance. And it's wonderful to see all these different consortiums and the partnership that, you know, Microsoft and R3 have, really helping them get live. It's been a journey for us all, and the lessons learned, I'm hoping that together we can help kind of speed up the time for adoption and kind of really grow the network.
You mentioned InsureWave went live on Azure. What kind of product is that?
So in InsureWave, and Nick, feel free to chime in. I know you've worked very closely with this project. Last April, InsureWave was built by EY GuardTime for a Maersk application that brought in MS Amlin, XL Catlin, Guard, Willis Tower, Watson, and really just the coordination of all the processes that they're doing and transactions. So when a claim happens or when a policy is recorded, everyone has kind of the same copy of the policy at the same time. So what I see is what you see. So, you know, in insurance, expense ratios are, you know, stubbornly high, somewhere between 25 and 35%. So imagine not each of those entities had to reconcile that information, that until it was all agreed on, it wasn't kind of recorded in the ledger. And I think what's fascinating about this project is if you talk to Lars, the head of risk at Maersk, is, you know, and I think Nick, he actually mentioned this at the event that we were together, is really reimagining the way insurance is done. He's like, through telematics, I know if my ship is in, you know, pirate water, I know the age of the hull, I know more details about that ship, that migrating from a static, you know, insurance policy where you kind of price it on an annual basis to more dynamic model, where you, once you have this information organized, you can price on a real-time basis.
Yeah, it's exciting that it's global and it's fully implemented and it's live now. It's a great selling point of the power of blockchain. So you have these big ships that are traveling around the world with lots of different cargo, and you're making sure in real time that they're where they're supposed to be, and they're not where, you know, if they're not where they're supposed to be, you can automatically increase their premiums or invalidate their coverage because they're, you know, in a war zone or where there are pirates, et cetera. And this, the same model could be used for other things where, you know, in commercial entities globally, the way those smart contracts are set up could be used for lots of other things. So it was a great thing to go live, and great from a selling perspective. You have big ships and pirates, and it's kind of exciting to talk about.
So let's talk about it a little bit more. We have to, as insured entities, report those sorts of status to our insurance companies, right? So we're going to ask for or sign up for a temporary policy that'll get me through this situation. Is that it?
Hey, there are different options that could kick in. It depends on how you have your smart contract set up. I think in this case was an automatic escalator. If you went off a different course and you were in a war zone or in an area with pirates, you were notified. And then different options were given to you. And even if you were not connected, say, to the internet, because of the way it's set up, the minute you become, it's constantly keeping track of where the ship is at all times. So if you, oh, I'll just turn off my satellite connection, it knows where you are. It's going to report back when it reconnects too. So it's real to know all the risks that are impacting the ship in real time. And report back, and then everyone that's on that contract knows it at the same time. So it's that whole idea of distributed ledger and sharing that information also eliminates additional risks, but it's just simplifies things and so much more efficient.
Nick, what did you mean by smart contracts?
So a smart contract is it's built into the structure within Corda that if event A happens, then B, C, D, or E happens after that. And we've had some examples with some other companies, something that's sort of really interesting is if you're tracking a product from the factory to your store, for example, if it's ice cream, it moves to the truck's cold, the truck driver turned off the refrigeration, the ice cream melted and turned it back on, right, and got the store. So it delivered frozen, but in between it melted. you can easily set up a smart contract with IoT sensors built into the shipping container that, hey, you know, then all sorts of things could happen. Could you send an email or a text notification that my ice cream is melted? Now it's at the store. What do you want me to do? Do you return it back to the store? Do you destroy the product? Those sorts of things. So there's lots of things that are related to insurance and blockchain that can all fit together with that smart contract. And there are lots of parallels with lots of different event-driven changes to the policy. And I know the Risk Block Alliance, for example, is building on a whole series of use cases to help implement this as well.
Well, thank you for that, Nick. And I want to go back to Ryan really quickly and ask, as a Microsoft partner, you have 5 apps in the Azure Marketplace, and I'm wondering what kind of impact that's had on your business.
You know, Azure, you guys have been, you know, early, you know, supporters, and it's been an incredible journey with you guys. And in insurance, you know, we talked a little bit about InsureWave. Nick just mentioned Risk Block Alliance, who is also working very closely with you guys, which has been wonderful. And they're piloting First Notice of Loss and Proof of Insurance, tying in the whole smart contract conversation, Proof of Insurance and First Notice of Loss, being able to kind of automatically trigger those payments, a smart contract being a series of if-then statements. We also have B3i, which is working closely with you guys. We have a large insurer that is currently in the process of, you know, setting up a network in Asia as well. So it's been really exciting, and it's not just in, and I know this conversation's around insurance, but you guys have also been big supporters with the banks, and that brings us up the topic of, you know, interoperability. And I think that's another reason we saw a lot of, you know, insurers, you know, migrate to Corda, is to realize the importance of, you know, kind of the network effect and having the ability to work with the banks and settlements and kind of speeding up that whole process. And we working with you guys also on the Corda network, which allows these different business network operators such as B3i, Risk Block, and SureWave to have that interoperability on a global network.
You mentioned financial services and banking. What about financial services are you seeing blockchain being used for? And in particular, are they using Corda?
You know, we started out as a banking consortium back in September 2015, where 9 banks approached our CEO, David Rutter, that were spending hundreds, if not millions of dollars on different proof of concepts on different ledgers and really wanted to kind of band together. And the breadth of projects that we've seen kind of emerge from there is everything from cash and payments, obviously, settlement, remittance, tokenized assets overall. You know, we're working on a project right now with HQLAF, which is just basically tokenizing buckets of bonds to speed up settlement to satisfy the bank's LCR requirements, syndicated loans, really, you know, any use case that has several disparate parties that need to be held, kind of have that same truth, that same shared vision, connecting on a network is where we've seen the best use cases. And, you know, this year, I'm taking on the responsibility of, you know, taking on some other industries. You know, we open sourced the platform back in 2016. And since then, we've seen other industries that I don't think that we ever imagined would be using Corda, such as oil and gas, telecom, healthcare, and they've developed apps on open source. So now we're putting some resources behind them as well and trying to help connect them with the rest of the network.
R3 has on its homepage, blockchain for every business in every industry. Does every industry and even business need blockchain? And if so, why?
You know, any business overall that has a lot of, you know, I said this before, like disparate parties that need to have like the same information, but may have, you know, the contract set up with different fields in different order and continually has, you know, reconciliation breaks, and you have to have a lot of manual interaction. And I think that's why insurance is so, you know, interested in this, because their infrastructure is relatively old and done, you know, emails and faxes and, you know, really labor intense. But being able to connect on a network where, you know, a contract is not recorded until all parties agree to it is not just for insurance or financial services. You know, we've really kind of seen the whole gamut being built on it. That being said, blockchain is not for every business. I've seen overall it more on a B2B basis right now, starting to see kind of some B2C emerge, but definitely more on the B2B side. That being said, it could evolve that way. That's where kind of we are in the maturity of this technology.
Well, speaking of that, I'm going to ask you one last but really fun question, and it applies there. What uses of blockchain will really catapult this into common usage, do you think, in insurance? What's going to cause the inflection point?
You know, I think from my standpoint, it's, you know, getting all the data like onto the ledger is kind of the first step. And, you know, the use cases that we've seen is really, you know, connecting these parties on Corda to get the data on there. But I think what really is fascinating to me, and I'm starting to see it emerge this year, is several of our partners kind of seeing the convergence of multiple technologies. So not just blockchain, but using blockchain almost as that fundamental, that like building block per se, that gets the data organized, but evolving that to the future. So if you think of, you know, the consortium Mobi, which is an automobile and consortium, looking at usage-based insurance. So if you think of autonomous vehicles and you're going to only be in the car for an hour, do you want that annual policy or do you want that micro policy for an hour? Or, you know, Nick was talking about, you know, dynamic policies with, you know, ice cream or cargo, where, you know, if you ship goods from Asia to the US and mid shipment, the goods spoil and you have these IoT sensors that are sending data to a ledger, you could actually start having dynamic policies where you're paying it out real time and you could reorder the goods or whatever the case is. So I think that that was a long way of saying that blockchain will be the way to kind of really organize the data, really streamline, help the insurance industry go through digital transformation, but also allow the data now to create new revenue, lines of revenue through new businesses that are kind of evolving through these convergence of multiple techs.
Blockchain is such a hot topic right now. I really can't wait to air this episode, but unfortunately we're out of time. And Ryan, I want to thank you so much for joining us today on the show, and Nick, you too, and invite you back maybe for an update in a year or so. See how you're doing.
I would love that. Thank you guys so much for the time. It was a real pleasure speaking with you, and it's always a pleasure to work with Microsoft.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thanks for the time.
We appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Microsoft Industry Experiences Team podcast, the show that explores how industry experts are transforming businesses with Azure. Visit our team at aka.ms/indxp. And don't forget to join us for our next episode.